I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We're going to have some real healing. We've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
This is What's Next. I'm host Thomas O'Neill White, and joining me today is Seamus Gallivan. And now, off air, we were talking about, you know, what title to give you. I mean, you're the co-founder of the Buffalo Slow Roll, creator of Reconnector, a real man of the region, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. You know, since I've known you, you've always had your hand in something, or at least tried to bring awareness to events or issues in the region.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Thomas. It's an honor to be on this show. I really want to say first that how much I love and appreciate this show, What's Next. I know I've told you this off the air, but I think everyone should really take a moment to appreciate it. It's essential listening. It has been since May 14th when it was started. After this, I hold calls from 10 to 11 a.m. to tune into this. And because of that, because of a care about issues in our community and wanting to be connected, wanting to know what's happening in our city and area. And I think I've just always been fascinated with social connection since I was a kid. You know, I'm a fourth generation Buffalonian. I was raised in Kenmore because of no residency requirement. I'm a son of a firefighter, Buffalo firefighter, but born here, raised nearby, and really, I think maybe when I was a kid, we always seemed to have a connection to anything of interest. We were, you know, in Buffalo, there's at maximum 2 degrees of separation.
Right.
You know, no six. In Buffalo, it's two, you know. And for me, it seemed like one. And it seemed like we always knew someone or something that was relevant. And that really, it hit home for me at a formative age. When I was eight, my great uncle, Monsignor David Hurley, was murdered by two teenagers in his rectory.
Wow.
That was 1987, and that was at St. Matthew's in Wyoming in Ferry, in East Ferry. And that really, you know, I remember vividly, we were close, I remember vividly receiving the news from my mother and in tears, and remember being in the courtroom and really staring at those two young men, seeking some kind of understanding.
Uh-huh.
And just not getting it. And, you know, it's so hard to make sense of something like that. And when you can't make sense of something, you know, a tragedy, something so heavy, you can turn away and just be fearful or be angry and want it to go away.
You took a different route.
Yeah, try to understand, you know, seek the root cause. And ever since then, I feel that it had a profound impact on me, wanting to understand the root cause of issues, what causes the problems that we have, so I've always sought to understand, and in a city like ours, you know, that led me to seek out the root causes of segregation and poverty, and I still seek a connection with those two men. I keep up on them. I know where they are. Every once in a while I hear some news. I hear that one is really on a path to rehabilitation and studying theology, and I look forward to learning more about that, and you know, still trying to make sense of that, while overall, you know, growing up and becoming more involved in the community as a whole, seeing that we really have a lack of understanding of each other and a real disconnect in our community.
Well, how does that make you feel to you know, keep up on those guys who just committed a obviously heinous crime against a member of your family, but to see like one of them seemingly getting his life together? I mean, he's obviously still locked up, but seemingly on a good path.
Yeah, you know, that was really interesting news. I was just told recently, and it's, you know, it's encouraging, and it you know, it gives hope,
right?
And you know, what do we have without hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but beyond hope, you know, is action, and they're, you know, they killed a second priest, Father David Bissonnette, and that's sort of the roots of Bissonnette House, what became with Sister Karen, the Peace Prince movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they're going to still be away, be in prison for another 15 years or so, excuse me. So, you know, what their future is a little certain for now. Though, you know, I hope that we're all still here in 15 years and there will be an opportunity for them to, you know, they'll be up for parole. And I wrote a victim impact statement at 8 or 9 years old, and
wow.
So maybe I'll be called upon to be mm-hmm. part of that process, and if I'm fortunate to still be here, I'll be part of it.
Let's talk this revelation you had a couple months ago. Talk to me about the revelation and what that revelation has led to.
Yeah, you were there at Bayville back in December.
I was,
and I know you were aware. Revelation is a big word right now, especially if we're talking theology.
Right.
You know, I wanted to start something new. You know, funny side story of that was that I didn't have the web domain. I was still bidding on the web domain, so I didn't want to say what the name was. I didn't want to give away the letter. Like, how am I going to promote this event without the name Reconnector?
Yes.
And
yes.
So, you know, so I used that sort of revelation term, and of course that sent people stirring about what it was.
It certainly did.
Maybe some of them still are. So it really just comes down to social connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have that formative experience, but I've really sort of practiced it, really, that fascination with social connection. I put it through my work, and I can tell as a connector that it's something that I really care deeply about and want to put all my energy into. So with Reconnector, it was really rooted in the sort of lack of social connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these issues that we have in Buffalo are really, you know, we have, and they're not unique to Buffalo. They're really prominent in Buffalo. So in being as starkly segregated as we are, and it's always been that way here, especially over the past century, that, you know, we have systemic segregation, the effects of which still linger, and some of the practices still linger. And in my work as a storyteller, as an event planner, promoter, and as a community organizer, I still sort of stay rooted in that care for social connection. And I found that it's really powerful. It's really necessary. And we have our Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, has declared an epidemic of loneliness and social isolation.
Wow.
So we have really new issues, you know, social media and the continued effects of suburban sprawl that are isolating people. And we have all these mental health issues now, right, that are really connected to us being disconnected, to people being isolated. And, of course, you know, the roots of this show in a response to May 14th.
Right.
You know, that person who perpetrated that terrorism was isolated and disconnected. And there's a sort of an ignorance that comes with that we can address through education, through social connection, through getting together in person. And so my experience is a lot in sharing people's stories and bringing people together. And so Reconnector is essentially that. It's a social enterprise providing social connection through events and media. So I want to bring people together in person.
Mm-hmm.
Also using a website, an email newsletter, conversations like this,
yes.
So over podcasts, to really bring light to people, places, causes, and ultimately inspire action. And so, yes, that event at Bayville, with revealing the Reconnector, we sort of tested out a few things of sort of, you know, from an entertainment sense, from an education sense, and just from a social connection sense of bringing people together. What did you think of it?
I thought it was wonderful. It was something that, you know, I walked into Babeville and I immediately ran into like four people that I knew. And I was, you know, like, I know you and we have a good rapport, but it was also like running into these people, some who I haven't seen in like a year or two. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I dig it. I'm digging it. And this was before anything had even started.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt comfortable. I felt at home and that, you know, and then I felt at peace.
Beautiful.
And that's, those are very important to me.
Same. And that it was really intentional to have that first part of the event just be open social time.
Yes.
Provide some food and drinks, open up the space and allow people, allow for that so mm-hmm. that you have a chance to have a conversation with somebody, see somebody you know, maybe meet somebody new. And that was perfect. So that you actually, you say that you felt at home, that you felt comfortable in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that allowed you to open up to receive the program.
It certainly did. So and talk a little bit more about the program.
Sure.
You had music, you had kind of like a sit down, and it's funny, you know, you were talking about, you know, being able to tell other people's stories, but now you're sitting here kind of telling your own story. Is that kind of strange in a way?
I don't know. I have most of the privileges in this world, you know.
Right.
I'm comfortable being in the center of attention. I always have been, and actually, a lot of my work is figuring out how to get out of the center of attention while still being relevant and still helping. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little too comfortable talking about myself, Thomas. But I would rather put the spotlight on others, especially those who don't get as much of an opportunity as I do,
right,
to tell my story, you know.
So a little bit more about the event, the Revelation in December.
Yeah, so we had that open social time at the beginning. That's Act One.
Yes.
Act Two is the Buffalo Down, and I sort of jokingly call it a hoedown with a lowdown on Buffalo, but the hoedown it suggests that it's country music, but it's just music. It's sort of just let go of the genres and. There's music, there's conversations, there are other performances. And so that particular night at Babeville, you know, I had my sister India Walton as a co-host, and she'll be a part of this next Buffalo Down as well. We talk about social connection and our story. And then we brought up other people to talk about the sort of the root inspiration of specifically of Reconnector. And that's the struggle to put the park back in Humboldt Parkway. And also we brought some youth up, you know, we had what I call youth
that's
telling,
right. That's right.
You know, just have the youth tell the truth and that's as they do. And really including youth in it. And not just as a sort of a token thing with a kids corner, just having, you know, youth really, be able to express themselves. And I really want this whole thing to be inclusive, that everyone can see themselves in it and be part of it and have that spotlight too. So we sort of tested out a bunch of things, and it seemed like they were pretty all well received, except for my rambling. I went on and on, as you know, like I said, as I do. But I'm working on it, getting out of the way a little bit. But yeah, you know, that part with you know, we talked about earlier with India. I think it's maybe the most powerful story that I have for social connection, and how we came to know each other and be friends and consider each other siblings. And so mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about that. That night,
yes,
right?
For people who don't know, talk about your connection with India a little bit.
Well, we met as adversaries. We were introduced as adversaries through Slow Roll, and you mentioned I was co-founder of Slow Roll Buffalo, mm-hmm. and I recently lovingly resigned from that after a decade and really putting my heart and soul into Reconnector and finding more ways to connect people beyond the sort of the limits of the bicycle. But we really did a lot to be inclusive in that space. And that said, Slow Roll grew really fast and really white. And, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe that's a reflection of me being the lead spokesperson. And so when we were going riding in 2016, we were riding in the Fruit Belt, and some folks in the Fruit Belt were concerned about what were our intentions.
Mm,
and
right.
and a a protest was staged, and it was very respectful. People had signs, and they were stirring conversation as the ride was going by, and I asked, you know, what can we talk about this? And we seemed to have some misunderstanding. These aren't our intentions about gentrification and, mm-hmm. and human zoo and putting bike lanes over sidewalks. Like I agree with all these things are urgent issues, and we would love to use this platform we have to amplify them. And they said, you got to talk to India. So shout out to Partnership for the Public Good for actually bringing us together through an annual fundraiser they had called Shakespearean Idol.
Yes,
where
yes.
Andy and I were chosen as contestants to do our best rendition of Shakespeare. And I had no chance. She came in full regalia and stole the show. And we started talking. We sat down. We realized we had the same, you know, values and visions. And so she got involved with Slow Roll. And we helped amplify and support the Community Land Trust in the Fruit Belt. And she helped bring other people into it, get other people involved. And really, in an important way, just, again, sort of like me getting out of the middle and handing that bullhorn to her to talk about where we are and what's relevant there and help share that bullhorn with the next person in the mm-hmm. next neighborhood. She really helped us connect on a deeper level with the community, became a board member, became a volunteer, got on a bike for the first time. When the shutdown hit and the elders in the Fruit Belt were homebound, she called on us to help deliver groceries and whatever their needs were. And so we formed a deep bond in that way, became really close. And of course, you know, this was all before she was a household name.
Right.
She was India from down the way, from the Fruit Belt.
From the Fruit Belt.
And
I interviewed her there in the Fruit Belt.
I remember that. Yeah.
We were all there together.
Yes. At a safe social distance.
Yes.
And of course, that, you know, that led to her. We used to just talk at length, you know, sometimes late at night, about just, you know, what just dreams and visions and needs for our city. And that led to her asking me to be her communications director and spokesperson when she was running for mayor. And I was down. I'd never done something like that. But ultimately, that was a bunch of people who lacked experience, who just wanted better for our city. And we just threw our everyday skills at it, and you know, we did our best.
Yeah, there must have been some highs and some lows in that whole process.
Oh, for sure. It was obviously intense, but it was so energizing that so many people really came together, and out of a care for our city. Also, mm-hmm. out of a care for the immediate needs of of themselves and their neighborhoods, of just like we have real deep issues in Buffalo. People are struggling. Almost half of our children are living in poverty. We are deeply segregated. We don't understand each other that well, right? So we did our best to have a campaign that was about everyday people and everyday issues, and the way people came together for that was so beautiful. And ultimately, although it was unsuccessful in winning the election, it succeeded in so many ways, and I have so many bonds that are lifelong through it.
So how would you categorize your experience in politics? Because, you know, politics can get rough, it can get down and dirty.
Yeah.
What would you say? Had you dabbled in politics before?
A little bit, never that deeply, you know, canvassing door to door.
Yeah.
And just trying to meet people where they're at, but never working on a campaign. That, you know, we through the successes of that campaign, we entered the belly of the beast, and we were not welcome. And it's you know, there are some dark corners of Buffalo politics, and they're ultimately, that's, I guess, where a lot of the successes lie. And so we were sort of, I say we didn't just poke the bear, like we moved into the bear's den.
Yeah.
And the bear woke up. The bear was sleeping.
Caught you eating the honey.
The bear woke up and threw us out. And I don't know that I want to go back in there. I just want to be sincere. I want to move with integrity and dignity. And it's really hard to do in politics to really be sincere all the time. Politics makes strange bedfellows. Is that the old saying? Another Shakespeare reference.
Yeah.
I want to stay in beloved community. I think politics refraining from politics is a privilege, right?
Yes.
I don't want to refrain from it. I want to engage. That said, electoral politics, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a different way of going about doing political things without being actively, in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, I just want, people. At the root of politics is a concern for people and advancing communities, and that can be done in so many ways. And you just ultimately you just have to find your best lane and where I'm at, excuse me, is I just want to bring people together. Politics can be divisive. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to be, to engage in issues that are uncomfortable. That said, ultimately, I just want to share people's stories and bring people together. And that can be done in many ways.
We've got about 5 minutes before our first breaks, but let's talk about a little bit more about bringing people together. And, like pre-COVID, there seemed to be like a lack of synergy between organizations, like progressive organizations in the area, organizations and groups who could really benefit from working together. It seems like post-COVID, at least like the last, I wouldn't say post-COVID, there's still a COVID era, but over the last like couple of years, it seems that these organizations are realizing, hey, we're stronger together than we are, on an island trying to figure things out. There's a lot of more resource sharing. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a complicated question, I think, a subject that, during those early months of COVID, there was a lot of solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
There was a deeper understanding of how essential social connection is, how we are interdependent, and that in all that tragedy, the death and destruction, was a lot of beauty and beloved community. And I think once we're able to sort of get back to normal, as they say, the new normal is in many ways the old normal, that maybe we go back to our old ways and our old corners and our silos, and that's the memory of that, the experience is imprinted in all of us. Mm-hmm. We will all take lessons and have deep experiences with COVID that have changed us. That said, I think it's kind of easy to go back to the old ways once things are sort of normalcy is restored. And I think we're willing to talk about things more.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still, by and large, a society that is really rooted in the individual. And so a lot of people just kind of went back to their self-interests. And even in the nonprofit world, went back to just making sure that they got their grants and paid their staff. And there are remnants of that beloved time of collaboration out of necessity, out of desperation. And so, yes, maybe we're better off. I still think that we're pretty siloed still. And we sort of run against the collective interest in pursuing our individuals.
How do we continue to break down those barriers?
That's why I'm just throwing myself into Reconnector in this way, is having a community events calendar on the website when it launches, and it's taking some time to get that together, and really it's just centering people in all these stories, and instead of a story necessarily about an organization or a company, it's really just get to the root of the personal story.
Yeah,
that
people focused
that inspired the creation of the organization.
Yes.
And if we still The part that's individual to me is shared experience, where if we can just tell someone's individual story, we can see ourselves in it or someone we know and find a way to work together. And I don't know. I'm not going to solve these problems myself, but I'm going to throw myself into them and make Reconnector my best effort to sort of, you know, break down those barriers, break down those silos.
We're going to take a quick break and be back with more What's Next right after this.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media proudly presents the Indie Film Showcase, featuring locally produced films like the unforgettable Augustus Post. Adventurer Augustus Post brought the first motor car in New York City and helped steer America through a revolution in transportation. Stream the unforgettable Augustus Post on the Indie Film playlist on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
Listen to iconic indie and alternative music and discover emerging artists from Buffalo, Toronto, and everywhere in between. Indulge in nostalgia and cross over into what's new and now with WBFO The Bridge. Listen to WBFO The Bridge on 88.7 HD2 or the app.
Public Media is more than Morning Edition and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Buffalo, Toronto Public Media creates digital series to ignite curiosity in young learners, free lesson plans, videos and training for teachers and parents, and events to empower the minds of our community's next generation. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And we are back with Seamus Gallivan. You're listening to What's Next. A little more about Buffalo Down, Act 3. We forgot to mention music.
Yes, yes. So this sort of signature event for Reconnector, the Buffalo Down, you know, we have that open social time in Act 1. We have that sit-down sort of talk show with a house band in Act 2, having conversations. Music is such a core thing to me. I think it's one of the best ways to bring people together. It's a sort of a universal language. You know, you can listen to music in other languages and feel connected to to it, feel something, right? Be inspired. And so it's always been a central thing in my life. And I've done a lot of work in the music business, in our local music community. And that's a real strength of my personal network. So I always like to include music in anything that I'm doing. And so, yeah, we have that Act 3 that is actually rooted in a music show that almost aired on WBFO 15 years ago when there was the On the Border program of local music and local programming. That I was right when I moved back, I was 2 weeks away from launching this show, and it was a musical road trip, songs about places and conversations with artists about places and traveling, and so I sort of playfully call it gallivanting, just sort of wandering about in search of something, and so it's a musical road trip, and I'm bringing this to life through this house band, through an incredible band of Buffalo musicians who have come together just for this. And so we take a trip, and back in December, it was a trip I'd taken to New York, and so we explored New York and the Hudson Valley through songs about those places or that are relevant to those places or by artists from those places. And so it's every sort of episode is a new trip. It's a new road trip where we'll go someplace different. We'll talk about it. We'll have a sort of a guide. And in the case of the next one, the next event, the Buffalo Down next Thursday at Kleinhans, where I have big news about.
Yes, please share. Please share.
That it's now free. I'm so excited that so this next event, next Thursday, April 4th at Kleinhans Music Hall, the Buffalo Down is themed Living the Dream. And you know, I talked earlier about the beloved community, and that's a term that I first learned from Martin Luther King, who's a real, you know, his lessons are a real North Star for me and have been since childhood. And that hopefully it really emanates throughout Reconnector and throughout all my work, that this just that sense of interdependence, mm-hmm. that, you know, that we are all tied in a garment of mutual destiny. Is that it?
Mutual destiny.
That boy, Clifford Bell, Brother Bell,
yes.
Who I've been talking with a lot
Chief.
About this event in general. He's got that speech down. he delivered it to Slow Roll once, but so Martin Luther King is our guide on gallivanting this musical road trip next Thursday at Klein Hands, where again we have three acts. We have the open social time, we have the Buffalo Down show, and then this gallivanting show. We're going to go on a trip through the Deep South with the spirit of Martin Luther King as our guide, and we're going to be in Georgia and Florida and Alabama and Tennessee,
wow.
and we're going to trace his tracks, and the songs will be by artists from those places, or songs that are relevant to the movement. As Dr. King and John Lewis said, that music was the soul of the civil rights movement, and so we're going to stir that up. But the whole event is dedicated to Dr. King, and I really wanted to have this be an early event for Reconnector to show this root influence and the spirit that emanates through it. So this event is on April 4th because that's the anniversary of his assassination in 1968, and 5 months before that, which is maybe not common knowledge in Buffalo. Martin Luther King spoke at Klein Hands in November 1967. He was invited by the UB Student Association. His speech was entitled The Future of Integration. And at the time, especially in that last year of his life, he had essentially been canceled. He was speaking out against the war in Vietnam. He was speaking out against class warfare at home and workers' rights. And it was really transcending.
That's what brought him to Memphis.
The civil rights. That's right. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to sing about it. And really reflect on that last year, especially, but his whole life. But at that speech at that appearance in Buffalo, there were few who welcomed him. He had become deeply unpopular. He was national surveys had said that he was deeply unpopular. But those in Buffalo who did welcome him, the UB students and some of the civic leaders at the time, Arthur Eve, rest in peace, Constance Eve, that you just mm-hmm. passed, and the late George K. Arthur, who I talked with so many times and looked up to so much, talked about
Likewise.
In general and about Dr. King.
Yes.
And he really understood and embodied the beloved community. And George K. Arthur was one of the people who welcomed Dr. King.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the picture.
mm-hmm. Yes. Arthur Eve is in that picture too. And so I've been really searching for people who were there. If anyone's out there, knows anyone who was there and still with us, would love for them to be there with us at Klein Hands next Thursday. So many of those people have passed. But we will have Queen Mother Eva Doyle. And,
yes.
You know, when we want to know about history, the eye on history, and we want to reflect on where we've been in Buffalo, I turn to Dr. Eva Doyle first. So often. And so I'm so honored that she will be there, and she's going to talk about the history of Dr. King in Buffalo in that time, 1967, 68. It was a tumultuous time in Buffalo as well. And we're going to also reflect on the beloved community in Buffalo. Where does that live? How can people get involved? And really, this is that's still that root essence of what Reconnector is. That's why we're going to have an events calendar on the website. Every story will lead, hopefully inspire action, give people a way to get involved. So where does that beloved community in Buffalo? We will have Andrea Suliban from Partnership for the Public Good to share. I see it so much in their events, in their work. They have a policy platform that is voted on democratically by members.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of those folks will be there at Klein Hands next Thursday with information about their causes.
It's great.
And we've had
a lot of them on
yes.
our show.
Yes. Even this months, week, like it's,
yes.
I really appreciate that. And to go into depth about these things. And so much, it's to me, the beloved community where I saw, I heard it talked about and saw it practiced was in the late Lorna Hill in Ujima Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the honor of getting to know her, and we had started working together right before she passed. And we carry a lot of that into Reconnector. And so we'll have Brandon Williamson from Ujima Theater to speak on that, and also to perform a spoken word piece, So we'll have performances from the band, we'll have conversations, we'll have the youth on stage, and we'll also have the elders and Dr. Eva Doyle, and do our best to bring light to where the beloved community is in Buffalo, where we've been, and hopefully where we're going together.
You've also, I believe, I saw you're going to have Tyler Westcott on.
Yes.
Friend of the show.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. You know, in the first Reconnector newsletter that I put out intentionally on Martin Luther King Day in January, I shared a link to a song that Tyler wrote called We're on the Move Now.
Right.
That is pretty much word for word taken from the speech after the march from Selma to Montgomery for voting rights. And when they succeeded and they arrived in Montgomery at great cost, you know, lives were lost, blood was shed.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. King said, we're on the move now and not about to turn around. And Tyler wrote this beautiful song about it. So I said back in January in that first newsletter, I got an idea. Tyler doesn't even know about it yet. But so it was to have him perform this song at this event on April 4th. And so he's agreed to do it, and we'll have the band back him. And he's in Ireland right now. Sort of my ancestral homeland, and I'm so excited to hear about that from him. He'll be back in time right on. He'll be back in time. He's going to play that song, so there will be a bunch of original songs from Buffalo artists.
Mm-hmm.
John Bacon is our drummer for this event, a great drummer and composer, and he has a song called John Lewis that hasn't been released yet. It's beautiful.
Wow.
It's Cross That Bridge When You Come to It, John. Cross that bridge, arm in arm. And it's about that moment, Bloody Sunday in Selma. And we're gonna go there as best as we can through music and stories and actually excerpts of speeches from Dr. King. And so there are more original songs from this amazing band: Alex MacArthur, Grace Logan, Vinnie DeRosa, Harry Grazer, John Bacon, Honey Henry. We'll have Tyler. We'll have Brandon. A lot of performances, and really, hopefully, the people come for the social connection. Right, food and drinks are provided. Stay for the music. And this great news that I have is that it's free. It was going to be a ticketed event to cover the cost of paying these musicians and the stagehands. And I'm just so honored some kind folks behind the scenes have said, let's make this free. Let's open up the doors. And of course, I want to be inclusive in all things. So I didn't have the money to pay all these folks, but we're getting it. And so we can make this free, get everybody in the doors. There's activities for the youth and a chance for them to be on stage and bring what they do in the house. Jay Hawkins, Cassius Green is his stage name.
Okay.
Also a teacher at Tapestry Charter School. And some poets are going to provide youth activities, art and poetry, and have kids actually get involved in something and have the opportunity to bring it to the stage. And so we want people to come together for that open social time. Like you said, man, feel comfortable, feel at home in the space. That was really beautiful the way you put it. And then sit down and have this sort of talk show, Act Two, the Buffalo Down. And Act Three, we'll have this concert and the song. It's an ambitious set list. I'm excited to rehearse it with the band Saturday. But these, you know, we have such amazing musicians in Buffalo, and I'm so honored that they're willing to sort of go for this ride with me and really take us there.
Yeah. Big shout out to my guy, Vinnie DeRosa. Mm. It's my guy from way back.
Right on.
Yeah.
He's a beauty.
Great guy. We've got about 4 minutes until we break again, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of Amina Johnson.
Yes.
Very community oriented woman. Can you share your thoughts on her and what she meant to the community?
Yes, you know, I can do it in a way that just sort of encapsulates everything we've just been talking about. Amina was such a warm soul, such a lover. Yet at the same time, she was fierce, and she was a tenants' rights advocate. She was the first hire staff member of Push Buffalo, and that began just by going door to door. The founders of Push Buffalo, Aaron Bartley and Eric Walker, were going door to door around the West Side for seeking sustainable housing and finding out what people needed. And Amina was so in tune with that and joined them. Became that first hire, and just really all the way till the end was just that person who so many people, especially on the West Side, was a lifeline for them to know their rights, to help them to help show up in city court with them and in housing court. Even the I'm told I never went with her, but that even you know she had the respect of the people door to door, but also of the judges in housing court of the lawyers and because she was so committed and she cared so deeply and she knew what the rights were and she advocated for better living situations and better legislation. And so I met her through Push and her late husband, Ismail, and they're reunited now. He was a musician, too, sort of. Again, like the soul of the civil rights movement was music. That's what Dr. King and John Lewis said. You know, that was the soul of the tenants' rights movement on the West Side with Push was Amina and Ismail. And his songs were Spread Love. And we sat together and sang those songs. And at the same time, you know, we had fun. We had beloved community, that real essence right there, where we knew that we were interdependent. And even though I had not had that kind of struggle as a tenant, I was fortunate to have great relationships with the owners of the places that I have lived. But I still could see myself in that struggle and still relate as best as I could and trust someone like Amina that she knew and she was telling the truth and that she would show up for people. And so I love her so much, and her spirit will live in all of that, and it'll be there at Klein Hands next Thursday as well. We'll be singing for her and with her.
Beautiful, beautiful words, Seamus. We'll be back with more from our guest, Seamus Galvin, right here on What's Next.
At PBS, we know that helping students learn is a teacher's top priority. Find the content you need to enhance lessons and spark your students' sense of curiosity at PBS Learning Media. Check out free educational resources created by the Learning and Engagement team at WNED PBS. Find lesson plans and video clips from productions like The War of 1812, Compact Science, and Reimagining a Buffalo Landmark. Visit pbslearningmedia.org now.
Join us for the premiere of WNED's Now We're Gardening Live on Saturday, April 6th at 10:30 a.m. Watch as our garden experts show us what to do for a solid spring cleanup, share tips on using indigenous plants in the yard, and explore the new trend of cocktail herb gardens. Tune in on April 6th or attend in person with tickets from Eventbrite. Now We're Gardening Live is brought to you by Erie County Climate Action Plan and Urban Roots Cooperative Garden Market.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And we are back with Seamus Galvin. Seamus, off air, we are talking about the term comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's a term you really take to heart.
It's an interesting term, isn't it? The root of it is actually in satire over about newspapers.
Well, we don't do that here.
I've heard a lot of artists take it to heart. A lot of activists take it to heart. And to me, it just to comfort the afflicted, to afflict the comfortable. You know, I have almost all of the privileges that are available to a person in our society, you know, short of wealth. And I've had access to that. So I've led a pretty comfortable life. And I've needed to be shaken to pay attention to the uncomfortable. And like we said, that happened at a formative age when tragedy struck my family. Though, we were afflicted. I would never wish that on anyone. But to simply afflict the comfortable, I just think that, we just have to talk about things that matter. We have to share people's stories. And sometimes they're uncomfortable.
Yes.
And we have the privilege, many of us, of just looking the other way and putting them away, whether they're looking the other way or putting something away, whether it's a person in prison or whether it's just a you know, turning off the TV or our phones and pretending, just putting off an issue that is maybe urgent to someone else. I think true social connection is that understanding of interdependence, that if someone is uncomfortable in our community, that if we ignore it, it's at their danger, and that it may also lead to the danger of many others, including ourselves. And so I choose to be afflicted. I choose to care, and I choose to seek to understand.
So how do you, for the comfortable, how do you meet them where they're at and say, hey, there's this issue going on in your backyard? How do you get them to, I wouldn't say like get on board, but have an understanding of a certain issue?
It's a great question. You know, I descend from radical preachers on both sides of my family, so I've been guilty of preaching. It's just in me, right? Preaching doesn't always work, right?
Like, yes, right.
To truly meet someone where they're at, I think, is to just relate and sort of appeal to their senses about, what do you care about? And how does it connect with what's affecting someone else? And that's why I believe in the power of the personal story, and doing the best that I can as a storyteller to relate it to the collective and to relate it to each other individual and understand how it affects our community as a whole. And so hopefully just create that sense of urgency through just a collective understanding. And that's hard, you know. That's why we have a lot of problems, because we're not that good at it, honestly.
Yeah.
We struggle with it. We are disconnected in so many ways because we have so many structural ways that we choose to disconnect from segregation and suburban sprawl and simply now our ability, ability to just lock down in our own lives and ignore the realities outside our door. And sometimes they come to us forcefully. And so just really encouraging people to care. And honestly, that's why I go back to music, man. Like, music brings people together like nothing else. Like,
it really does.
Allows people to open up. And how many struggles do we know about through song? And how many communities do we know about through song? You know, how many people came to care about the civil rights movement through Bob Dylan, Blowing in the Wind? How many people cared about what's happening in Jamaica through Bob Marley, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just, civil rights struggles around the world. And so, music is central that we can gather through it. We can open up and feel good about being together and about our place, our presence in time, that we're here, which is a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm. And then just to appreciate that we do have these comforts, and at the same time, consider the discomfort of others.
What gets you out of bed in the morning? And I ask that because I'm a reader of Christopher Hitchens, and he always said, hate gets me up in the morning and gets me to work. I feel like I used to have that philosophy, but not anymore. So I'm always interested in what gets people out of bed and going.
I guess my best answer is really, it's a recurring theme here, but it is really what Reconnector is all about, and that's social connection. I'm in love with this community, with community as a whole. I love to go and find it. And so to get out of bed and go and find it, and how can I connect with people? How can I bring people together? And just, every day is a gift and an opportunity to do that. And so we got to take some time to ourselves when we get up in the morning, maybe. And breathe a little bit. And then
smell the coffee.
Yeah. And then, when we turn on and tune in, I'm always looking for, how can we come together to solve problems?
And I can go to a coffee shop on the west side and see you. I can go to a art gallery in North Buffalo and see you. I can run into you at an outdoor concert in the old First Ward and see you. I mean, you're everywhere.
At the risk of betraying humility, there was an article in the Buffalo News in 2012. At the opening of Larkin Square, I helped open Larkin Square. And Colin Dabkowski, the writer, referred to me because he didn't know a title. You opened by saying, you don't know my title. he referred to me as, what was it, omnipresent culture maven.
Yeah.
I said, just put it on my tombstone, man. Just that's it. I've achieved. That's peak. That's my title. That's it. But ultimately, I just, you know, I love this community. There's so much in it. There's an abundance of beauty in our community. And so I'm always finding it and trying to find more ways to bring more people into it, to appreciate it and make it matter, you know, make it meaningful to those who lack the access to it.
We've got about 4 minutes left. And I wanted to ask you, one, where do you see Reconnector in the next few years? And then where would you like to see Buffalo and the rest of New York in 5 years?
Well, the root inspiration of Reconnector is the struggle to put the park back in Humboldt Parkway. And I had gotten involved through Slow Roll and advocating for Parkway revival. I was invited to the table at the our community coalition, which at the time back in 2016 was rarely making headlines. Few people were taking them seriously, and now of course there's $1 billion on the table.
Yes.
And so this idea for Reconnector was a how can I put my best skills into my community's greatest need. And I identified that issue. It's the heart of our city. It's an open wound in the heart of our city. The heart and lungs, as Frederick Law Olmsted called the connected park system, the lungs of our city. And so the original vision was a free and inclusive, sprawling summertime festival in and between Delaware and MLK parks. And, of course, the parks are meant for passive recreations. We get into the blocks and the neighborhoods, the streets in between, and find ways to bring people together in all kinds of ways. I like to say from art to zoo, you know, like for Albright Knox, Birchfield Penny, Buffalo Zoo, Science Museum. Like there's so many great institutions in these spaces as well. And so I would love to see Reconnector. And that's that root inspiration for it is to have a sprawling festival where everyone is welcome and everyone can express themselves and find community. And I'm starting it through this website and weekly email, reconnector.org. Reconnector with an ER, by the way, to just start building that. And so that we can get those people on board and involved. And so they see themselves in it and build to that. And so in a few years, I would love for that to be something where, like, what are you doing? What are you doing on a summertime Sunday? The default thing is I'm going to the Reconnector.
Mm-hmm.
As for Buffalo.
We've got about 2 minutes left. Buffalo, where do you want to see Buffalo in 5 years?
Man, well, I would love to see a fully restored Humboldt Parkway.
Yes.
And I just, you know, Reconnectors and Ideas, time has come. I don't know that we could have changed the conversation about that. It's a lot of forces who want the status quo. Mm-hmm. And that is the free movement of motor vehicles, not interrupting people's commute times. So in 5 years, I would love for people to have maybe a few minutes longer commute, and we would have restore the heart of our city and have a parkway that connects Delaware and MLK parks like it was originally designed. To change the status quo, that would change the status quo in Buffalo. And that's what I would love to see in 5 years in Buffalo, is to change the status quo, because we know it's not working. We have pockets of resurgence, but the Renaissance will not be compartmentalized. We have to bring everyone into it, and we have to have everyone see themselves in the idea of a Renaissance and have a place in it, and reduce child poverty and reduce segregation. And those are big things, man, but in 5 years, if we commit to it on the daily, we can make progress.
You heard it here first. The revolution will not be compartmentalized. You're listening to What's Next. I want to really thank my guest, Seamus Gallivan, whose event, The Buffalo Down, is happening April 4th at Klein Hands. Free to all. You're listening to What's Next on WBFO News.